starting halfway through verse 18 and going to the end of the chapter. So if you want to find that in your Bibles or on your devices, Philippians chapter 1, starting halfway through verse 18. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, again your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as for one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have.
Good morning, and a special welcome to you if you are in Year 7. Your first time with us. In your little booklets, if you have a look, these are your booklets for 7-9C. A little bit past half is the first one for today, so it's Philippians 12, verse 30, but we're sort of going to be looking at it from here, from the third paragraph, if you want to follow along. There was a lot riding on this afternoon. My future was at play, or well, sort of. I was in Year 7 at high school. It was the under-13 zone cricket trials for Toowoomba in southeast Queensland. There was a lot riding on this. I knew I wasn't going to be first pick, but 12 or 18 months beforehand, I'd transitioned from tennis to cricket and was on the improve in my cricketing future. Can you see how serious I sound? My cricketing future. To be honest, when the afternoon the trials came around, I'd forgotten about them. So much so that during the day, I had swapped one of my sports shoes with my friend during physical education, so we shared one shoe each. The only problem is I hadn't swapped back by the end of school. Yet at school with my friendship group, not a big deal. It's quite funny, if you ask me. But here I was, the afternoon after school, about 4 p.m, totally new social situation. Cream of the crop of athletes from my city in a sport that I was pretty new to. I knew when I went to the trials, I was going to be toward the bottom of the pecking order. I knew that I wasn't going to come in to bat as an opener, but I still thought I had a shot at making this team. My years in the 18 months beforehand, my future was on the improve. This was not a good start. 4 p.m, I walk onto the cricket oval. Automatically, some of the boys start pointing at my odd shoes. One shoe, one foot, the other shoe, completely different brand, different colour, different height on the heel. So as I sort of walked onto the field, I'm a little bit offset, not to mention trying to bowl with different shoes on. I could see the coaches over here looking at their clipboard, look at me, have a bit of a giggle at my expense. The brave teenager from lunchtime with his friends in his school proudly walking around boasting at his odd shoes was now, hours later, in a new social situation, dying of embarrassment. Today we return again to the letter of the Philippians and we find the Apostle Paul thinking about his future. For me, as a teenager in year seven, I was paranoid about going back to those cricket trials 1 year later. Whereas the Apostle Paul, as he tries to crystal ball his future, he sees an image of his death appear before him, and he has a giddy smile. What is going on for the apostle that he can have that sort of confidence about his future? And how on earth do I share his confidence? Because, to be honest, when I hear him weighing up this thing like life and death in verse 22, I'm like, are you an idiot? Choose life. Why on earth would the apostle do that? If I had to answer that question 100 times today across today, I would give the same answer with not a pang of guilt to my conscience. Choose life. After hearing the Bible reading, do you know what I'm getting at? The apostle will choose to die to be with Christ. If you put a lie detector on me right now to my finger and say, what do you choose to? I choose life. How on earth is the apostle so recklessly confident? Well, let's dive in. We're going to look at Philippians 18b, the second half, to 26, before contending with verse 27 to 30. It might worth noting in your DNA studies for this week, it'll also look at verses 12 to 17. I engaged that last year on Vision Sunday, so I'm not going to be re-engaging that today. Let me quickly introduce myself to you if I haven't met you before, and we'll get into Philippians 1, 18 to 30. My name is Stu. I'm the Vision, Leadership and Community Pastor at Southern Cross and an average cricketer. Let me pray. Father, help us to be true to ourselves today, to answer honest questions about ourselves. By your Holy Spirit, would you move within us and give us a reckless confidence like the apostle, that we might have a future and a present that is safe and secure. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's jump into the text of Philippians 1, 18b. To 26. From my perspective, the apostle has a stupid confidence about his future. Did you sense that in verse 22? Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Do you get the question he's weighing? Have a look from verse 20. Follow along with me. I eagerly expect and hope that I'll in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, that will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Well, earlier I described to you my cricketing future hardly hung in the balance over some odd shoes and death by embarrassment. Whereas the Apostle Paul stares into his future and he's pretty confident death is likely for him. But he's trying to have a thoughtful guess what he reckons it would be. He's in a little bit of hardship because he's not sure what is more godly. Should he die to be with Christ or should he stay alive and help the Philippians? But I'm a little embarrassed to admit that when he talks about this existential thought, you know, choose life, choose death in verse 22, I find myself biting my tongue without shouting out to him, choose life. For I think my logic is very clear and very sound. Choose life. Why do you choose life? Because of Portuguese tarts. Because of beach holidays. Because of hikes in the bush if there aren't leeches. Because of a glass of red wine and a good book. Because of hot chips. Choose life because of live stream TV. Choose life because of air conditioning on a hot summer's day in the Northern Rivers. Choose life because somehow you got an unexpected tax return. Personally, I'm confused by the Apostle Paul when in verse 22 he doesn't seem to know what to do. To be slightly less abrupt, if he's not crazy, he seems mad, don't you think? And yet for those careful readers out there, you'll have seen I've completely missed the point. What is he actually saying? He's saying he's not afraid to die because he knows he will be with Jesus. But he's okay. He might be a little bit disappointed if he stays in this world. Nonetheless, he can see he can be used by Christ to help the Philippians to grow as followers of Jesus if he does stay in this world. So he would be willing to continue living. I completely miss the point because I'm afraid to die. How about you? I mean, I like Jesus. I feel like I could actually say in good conscience to you today, I love Jesus. And yet I would be lying to you if I said I want to be with Christ right now. Like now, like right now. Why? I'm booked in to see a professional sports event next Saturday. I'm hoping to have a birthday party with my kids in the next month. I'm hoping to finish my Master's of Theology over the next 3 months. I'm hoping to finish reading the top 10 Australian fiction novels this year. I got plans for 2024. Jesus is not my heartbeat this year. Could he just put it off for a bit? Maybe like a decade or two. Then I'll be ready to die to be with Christ. Will I be ready to die and be with Christ on the 18th of February 2034? I don't think so. Unless I can work out what the Apostle Paul sees in his future. Because honestly, if I crystal ball my life in 10 years, I cannot see I will be ready. Lord, please help me. I'm just going to leave that tangled mess there for a minute, a couple of minutes. Leave my idolatrous heart there, if that's okay with you guys. Although perhaps the apostle is not actually trying to have a go at me and my idolatrous heart in verses 18 to 26. He was just trying to let the Philippians know. He's just trying to let the Philippians into his thought life and into his heart. Nevertheless, the final part of chapter 1, verse 27 to 30 seems pretty clear. He does have concerns. He's got concerns for his brothers and sisters at Philippi, and that perhaps with the reordering of their hearts and our hearts might help forge them together and us together as one. So let's unpack verse 27 to 30 now. Well, we've seen from verses 18 to 26, the Apostle Paul senses an external threat for the future, seemingly suggesting that his life could be in danger and death could be a real prospect for him. He writes from chains. Then from verse 27 to 30, we get the sense the future of the church of Philippi could be endangered by an internal threat, something the apostle will return to in chapter 4 of Philippians. But we sense the need for unity for the future from verse 27. Check it out with me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. The apostle is clear in his life things are going to get rocky. And if you recall from Vision Sunday last year in November, when we looked at Philippians 1, verse 12 to 18, it wasn't an easy situation. The apostle is writing from a prison in Rome. He understands the Philippians are unlikely to experience a sunshine, lollipops and rainbows kind of existence. He understands the Philippians are, so in chapter 1, verse 14, he can see positively some of his brothers and sisters are seeing the apostle enchained, but rather than shrinking back, they are moving forward in confidence. Yet if they're going to keep moving forward, they're going to need to do it, as he says in verse 27, they need to strive together as one. Now, I'm sure the Apostle Paul knew the saying of churches, if churches aren't fishing for followers of Jesus, churches are fighting. Therefore, he wants the Philippian church to be committed to being fishers of men and women and children in their proud Roman city of Philippi. Because if they are opened up to splintering that emerges in chapter 4 of Philippians, their gospel heartbeat is going to be severely weakened until the gospel cause is potentially flatlined. And the Apostle Paul knows how devastating that would be and how freakishly easy it would be for their opponents to pick them off if they don't stand firm together for King Jesus in the city of Philippi, whose king is Caesar. Accordingly, the apostle makes the reference to stand firm in 27, verse 27. The image that comes to mind comes straight from the Roman city of Philippi that was established by soldiers. That's the city's heritage. So you need to have your inner gladiator going. Do you remember this part with the Australian actor Russell Crowe when he played in the film Gladiator? It was made in year 2000. Before many of you were born. But if that image and if your memory, you're like, oh, I kind of remember it, your memory can go back further. Think about the Roman Colosseum vibes from ancient history. So what is he saying? What is the Apostle Paul saying when he says, stand firm in verse 27? A group of soldiers, you know, if you remember Gladiator, a group of soldiers in a circle. So you actually go side by side, shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield. Why do you do that? You don't want to have an opening anyway, so a foreign object can intersect and break it apart and fracture it, disbanding. The apostle says, as you look towards your future, stand together as one, be of one heart, one mind, one body, united by the Spirit. So what have we seen across this final section of Philippians 1 from verses 18b to 30? Firstly, we've seen as the apostle writes from his chains, he expresses his inconceivable heartbeat when his heart expresses its desire to be home with Christ. If the apostle is honest, that's where he wants to be today. Secondly, we saw the apostle Paul would be willing to not have his heart's cry fulfilled. Where does he want to be now, today, with Christ? He's willing to stick around for the Philippians to help them to resist the internal threat to division by bringing the brothers and sisters together, arms linked. He's willing to stick around to do that. He would do it so they could avoid the external threat that wishes to extinguish their witness by dividing them, seeing them separated, disconnected and disbanded. So, what about us at Southern Cross? Will we strive together as one? Each year it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer of the threats out there from the world to Bible-believing churches in Australia. The threat's real. But is there a threat for us at Southern Cross internally? What could pull us apart? What could separate us? What could divide us? What could disband us? Because our theme for 2024 is our heartbeat. Together, united in the gospel as one, elevating the excellencies of Christ. So let's pray together that we would strengthen our partnership in the gospel for the future, for our district. What's going to become of the Philippians' future? Will they remain partners in the gospel in Philippi? Well, we're going to find that in coming weeks in our series together. At the under 13 cricket trials in southeast Queensland, my sporting future was in tatters. As I walked onto the pitch, I was humiliated to death. Whereas the Apostle Paul considered his future, and he can only see positives. Firstly, if he continued to live, he could help to galvanise the Philippian church so that they might have a strong, unified gospel heartbeat. Secondly, and finally, if he was never to leave his prison cell in Rome and there die, he was enthusiastic because he would see Christ. What a remarkable perspective he had. If he died, he's pumped. If he lived, not as pumped, but excited to see the gospel grow together in Philippi. As the Apostle Paul crystal balls his future, it is all for Christ. Why is it that I stare into my future and things don't seem so bright? I think I need to stare more at the brightness of Christ. I think I have to get to the point that my heart is able to recite with the Apostle Paul from Philippians 3, verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. When I was 13, though I grew up in a family that was part of a church, there was no way in the world I would show any interest in Jesus. Socially, for me in Year 7, that was social suicide. When I was 13, Christ meant nothing to me. The only thing I knew was don't identify with his name. But when I was 17, things started to change. Jesus was a person who intrigued me. And yet still at a youth convention on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, I admitted to the guest speaker what he said had unnerved me. But I was so confident that I'd simply return to my group of friends in Toowoomba on Monday back at school, and there is no way that I would admit to exploring Jesus. I had far too much to lose. I would lose my friends, my reputation, and my pride. On Monday, I went back and I did not say a word. Things have now changed. I try to use the best of my energy to explain the worth of Christ. But I'm still troubled by Paul's question in verse 22, or his answer in verse 23 when he chooses death so he can be with Christ. I still choose life so I can have the comforts of this world. Would you please help me to see how precious Jesus is? I'm serious. Would you remind me from John 4 that Jesus is the only place that satisfies? Would you remind me from Ephesians 1, I have every spiritual blessing in Christ? Would you remind me from Romans 8, I have the Spirit of Christ, so I can call God Dad? Remind me from Hebrews 1, Christ is the exact representation of the Father. Remind me from Acts chapter 4 when it says, there is no other name apart from Jesus under heaven by which people in Australia can be saved. Remind me from Matthew 7 that Jesus' words are precious, that if you build on them, it's like building on a rock. And next week together, we'll be reminded from Philippians 2 that Christ is the name that is above every name. And by us reminding each other, when we do that, we will grow our gospel heartbeat. Keep telling each other how incredible Christ is. Do you do that in your gospel community? Do you do that in your DNAs? Do you do that informally? When you meet together socially? Why not? The only thing we have in common is Christ. It's our heartbeat. It's our life. Sean Hart was recruited to play AFL. It's a sport that was from... He was recruited to play in Queensland in 1989. If you know Queensland in 1989, they didn't even know what AFL was. Sean Hart remembers hearing the news as a teenager from country Victoria in the AFL draft. He cried all the way to the Queensland border. He was there in Brisbane for 12 long years. He toiled away in this strange place called Queensland, a very long way from his home in Victoria. After 12 years, Sean would put his hands around the AFL Premiership Trophy as premiers with the Brisbane Lions. And here's the really exciting bit. Sean was also named the player of the match. As he's presented the award, he didn't tell a long story about him and his 12 years away from home, how he'd gone from being a teenage kid to an AFL wasteland. The first thing he said, "I want to thank my Lord Jesus Christ." As a 13-year-old teenager, there was no way I would ever be associated with Christ, let alone stand up publicly to celebrate him. I would be humiliated. I would need to come and stare at the cross as a 17-year-old. Have a listen to these words from author Michael Reeves. He says, "The humility we learn at the foot of the cross, glorifying in Christ and not ourselves, is the wellspring of all spiritual health. For when our eyes are open to the love of God for sinners, we let our mask slip. Condemned as sinners, yet justified in Christ, we can begin to be honest about ourselves. Despite all our unloveliness, we begin to love. Given peace with God, we begin to experience inner peace and joy. We show the magnificence of God above all things. We become more resilient, and we tremble in wonder at God and not at humans." There was a big crowd, I understand, at the MCG with Taylor Swift. Same sort of crowd was there for Sean, 100,000 people in a packed Melbourne cricket ground. And he would celebrate Christ because he knew Christ was magnificent. And I'm praying that our heartbeats would consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the excellence of Christ, that he is so worthy. We are sorry for the ways we can see the things of this life as gain and fail to see how Jesus offers us so much more. So please help us today to know Christ. Would you stir our hearts to celebrate him, put him on our lips? Would you help us to see him as gain, that we would be willing to be humiliated to death if it means Christ is exalted in praise? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.